This is a Rain replay.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the frozen tundra of the Midwest, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this Rain Report.
You know, of all the problems we have with radio noise, power line interference is probably the number one problem reported to ARRL.
That's Ed Hare, W1RFI. He's the lab manager for the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League. At the 2013 Dayton Hamvention, Ed spoke about the noisy world we live in that extends well beyond urban America.
Welcome to the ARRL program on Powerline Noise. My name's Ed Hare, W1RFI. I've been with ARRL since 1986, licensed first in 1963. And, you know, I got to say I'm lucky. I don't know where to draw the line between my personal interest in amateur radio and my professional obligations to my employer. So it's just a wonderful life to get to work in the lab and do a lot of these really fun things. I also serve on a lot of IEEE and American National Standards accredited committees, making sure that amateur radio has a seat at some of these very important tables as decisions are made by industry that could impact us. In fact, I was recently appointed to serve on the board of directors of the IEEE EMC Society on electromagnetic compatibility. So we're running with the big boys on behalf of amateur radio. My own interest in ham radio, QRP. My motto is less power to you. In fact, I'm currently working now on my 10 milliwatt worked all states, all done in the CW sweepstakes. Some of those sweepstakes contesters have some excellent ears. I'm sure most of you know about the league. This comes from a presentation I give in a lot of places, but roughly 165,000 members, a little under right now. The lab works a lot with FCC on various spectrum matters through our DC office and a lot of industry work as well. And these are the main membership benefits that come out of the lab: product testing, technical information, our RFI program, and a lot of the work we do on advocacy. We also have a pretty robust RFI program. We're now working on doing measurements of a lot of radio noise from a number of devices. And I'm also going to describe to you here the Powerline program we've worked out with the FCC. And of course, we do have the ARRL RFI book. A lot of the information in this book is also on the webpage. We believe RFI is really, really important for hams to handle. So we do the book to have it all in one place, but we're really looking to get technical information in the hands of hams. Okay, most hams will tell me noise levels are increasing. There's also a large number of switching power supplies. You may remember the days when that TV weighed 300 pounds, and now it weighs about 30 pounds because they're using very efficient power supplies, but they're making RF noise. A lot of them do. Chargers, lighting controllers. Cable leakage is still a problem some, although it's under better control. The various forms of DSL can also, under some circumstances, make radio noise. We've been dealing with AT&T on U-verse, for example. Plasma TVs have been reported off and on to cause problems. But the pulse width controlled motors, furnaces do the same thing now. They're air conditioners. Compact fluorescent lights were looked at earlier. We did a lot of testing on those, and we haven't had many major interference problems from them. And we're currently looking at LED bulbs. 40 different LED bulbs we bought, and we've tested a lot of them. And different bulbs, we went to all the big box stores. And what we found was a 60 dB spread between the quietest bulb and the noisiest bulb. Finding that the majority of them are okay. There's a few problem ones. And of course, those who have a neighbor with a problem one would ask the question, well, which bulb should I use? And buy, rather. You know, of all the problems we have with radio noise, power line interference is probably the number one problem reported to ARRL. It's common, although a lot of times when hams have interference from these other devices, they're assuming it's probably related to the power lines. One of the things that makes power line noise really, really difficult is that when you have it, there's nothing you can do to correct the problem. You're going to have the power company take care of it for you. Not the owner of the device, your own radio station, is nothing you can do to it to really correct power line noise. Maybe to some extent, I know MFJ and others make a small, they call it a filter, but it's really a noise canceling device that can be useful if you have a single source of radio noise, although they're a little bit cumbersome to use. But for the most part, you're going to have to deal with a power company. Well, what happens with power line noise? It's interference caused by some form of an arc on power lines or related hardware. It's generally going to be heard in your radio as a hash or a raspy buzz. If you put your radio to the AM mode, you almost always will hear a strong 120 hertz component to it. It will hum to some extent or another if you put the radio in AM mode. Kind of almost guarantee that that's a power line noise problem. it's relatively constant across spectrum. So if you tune across the band and you're hearing the noise pretty much steady across an entire band, maybe higher on one band than the other, but not varying much as you tune the band, that's a pretty good indication it's probably power line noise. If you hear that noise every 15 kilohertz up and down the band as an example, power line noise is not going to do it. That's telling you right away it's some kind of a device. If you're very, very close to a power line noise source, you can hear this even up as high as 1 gigahertz, especially if you have a small directional antenna.
You're listening to an excerpt from a 2013 Dayton Hamvention Forum talk by Ed Hare, W1RFI, lab manager for the ARRL. We'll return to his talk in a moment. You're listening to the Rain Report, heard in Greater DeKalb, Illinois, 9 p.m. Mondays, on the WA9 CJN CARC Kishwalki Amateur Radio Club 2-meter repeater on 146.73 megahertz with a 100 hertz PL.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Power line noise doesn't affect just amateur radio, but AM broadcast is killed by it. I'm really surprised the broadcasters aren't more interested. Amateur VHF broadcast, including digital TV, can be impacted by power line noise. Another characteristic of power line noise, almost always, is that it's going to be affected by weather, temperature, and humidity. So if you have a noise that seems to go away in the rain, that's clearly telling you that it's outdoors. More than likely, it's caused by power line noise itself. What you're going to typically see is bursts of noise at 120 hertz per second rate. What's happening is as you're going through the cycle, you're getting noise at the high voltage point through the AC cycle. You're getting noise at the low voltage point, so that's going to put noise every 120 hertz. Occasionally, power line noise, for a lot of reasons, can come up and have a 60 hertz burst rate. So you'd hear or see, if you look down on the oscilloscope, a slower rate. Now, power line noise can very much be related to maintenance problems on the line. And one of the things we're doing is we're working with the power industry through groups like the Electric Power Research Institute and others to try to use them to help convince utilities that the majority of these RF noise sources represent some sort of a failure in progress. In fact, a point I've made often is every power line that ever dropped to the ground of its own accord, not through a car accident, for example, made radio noise for some time before it did. And so some of these power line noise issues can really represent maintenance problems. And one of the things we've been working with EPRI is we're trying to determine what level of noise represents something that they should go off and look at for maintenance purposes, which overall could reduce the noise levels, at least in the long run. Now, FCC has rules about power line noise. It falls under Part 15 of their rules. Now, under these rules, things like electric motors, not the pulse width type, but you know, regular old brush type motors, power lines, and similar things are called incidental radiators. They don't intentionally generate RF, but they might accidentally do so or incidentally do so in their operation. Under the FCC rules, there are no specific limits for the amount of noise an incidental radiator can make. They have only a requirement that it not cause harmful interference to licensed radio services. Also, a very vague requirement that power lines and other incidental radiators use good engineering practice to minimize what interference, whatever that might happen to mean. Well, often what gets into these problems areas for us is as we're dealing with cases, the question comes up, what is harmful interference? You know, if an amateur had an S1 noise level that rises to S2, chances are that amateur would be concerned, but the FCC might not deem that to be harmful interference because that's still below the ambient noise level that exists in many environments. And so the FCC defines it as the repeated disruption of intended radio communications. It's often literally in the ears of the beholder. And what we try to do when we take cases forward to the FCC, we try to take the cases that we really believe the FCC would consider to be harmful interference. I mean, to me, on the 10-meter band in a formerly quiet location, S6 noise, I think, would be pretty justifiable. You know, the guy who moves from the country into the city and says, I used to have S1 noise and now it's S7, is probably going to be told, move back into the country. I don't think the FCC would give that a lot of support. Well, who's responsible for this? Mostly the utility. Now, if there's noise coming from utility equipment, they're clearly responsible for identifying that noise and for correcting the problems. If the noise is conducted onto their lines from devices and houses, They are not responsible for that. Only the operator of that device is the one held responsible under the rules. So if you have you or your neighbor generating interference from a washing machine motor, for example, pool pump, we've had one that was from a septic system ultraviolet radiator thing. We're not even sure why they needed it, but there was some town ordinance that required it. It's the operator of that device that's responsible. Now, we'll often get hams call ARRL concerned that they have interference from a device they own and operate, and they want the FCC to do something about enforcing its rules. And we simply ask the amateur, well, who would you like to get the fine, you or your wife? Because under the rules, if it's a device you're operating, you, not the power company, would be responsible for fixing it. Now, we have a wide range of responses from electric utilities to power line noise complaints. They're far from the same. Some of them have really, really good programs. We've had hams call up and say, yeah, look, I called my utility, and 3 days later, they sent out this guy with this all equipment, and they found the noisy thing on the pole, and 3 days after that, they fixed it. And so occasionally, there are some utilities doing a really, really good job. Others would like to do a good job, but they don't know what to do. I mean, you're talking here utility folks. They know power. They know power lines. They know maintenance. But they don't know all this radio stuff. We've even seen cases where a utility guy is in a course to teach him how to use the equipment. We'll at least show you later. They're hearing all of the words, and you know, you talk about, well, set your attenuator this and put your antenna this way, and it's just not registering. These aren't radio people. In fact, we've had one that they went to a course, they took this equipment out to the ham station, they had correctly applied it to his antenna on 3.5 megahertz, they then took their 300 megahertz Yagi out to the backyard, left the receiver on 3.5 megahertz, pointed it everywhere and says, there's no noise here, it must be coming from your house. They just don't get it. So the biggest problem we're seeing really with utilities is they don't know what to do. And when people don't know what to do, they usually find reasons not to do it. Some of them fall in between, and some of them are just out and out doing nothing. We've had one utility that even literally takes FCC letters and tosses them into the shredder. I have not responded to the FCC. Why the FCC is not a lot madder than it is, I don't know.
That concludes our first excerpt from a 2013 Dayton Hamvention talk by Ed Hare, W1RFI, lab manager for the American Radio Relay League. We'll hear more of his Powerline presentation next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73. This is The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.